This is an iHeartRadio New Zealand podcast.
So whereabouts are you in Argentina, Macca?
In BA. It's actually quite pleasant.
So sorry, what's the time there?
Oh, about 8:30-ish, 9 o'clock.
And what are you up to tonight?
Going to La Cabrera, my favourite steakhouse. It's unbelievable. Booked in, ready to go. There at 9:30, so tally-ho.
All right, let's start. Roll the titles. Right, welcome to the TAB Sports Cafe. You all right?
Yeah. Yeah, good now.
Okay. Everyone's here except Mark. Mark is coming to us live from Buenos Aires in Argentina. Argentina?
Yes.
Buenas noches.
Sí, sí.
What do you say like that?
Argentina.
Argentina.
Why?
Argentina.
What do you say with right. A...
With a lisp.
Why?
Lisp.
I don't know.
Oh.
How do you say it correctly? Mark? How do you say it?
Argentina. Oh. I mean, I call it Argentina, but it's Argentina, I suppose. I don't know. I'm not too sure. Pass.
So you've been in Buenos Aires for a few days now?
Yeah. Over here collecting my daughter.
You enjoying yourself?
Loving it. It's been full protein. Just meat for breakfast, lunch and dinner. Empanadas for breakfast.
Oh. That's a healthy diet. That's good.
Is it?
Protein.
Yeah, more seizure and steak and lots of walking, so it's been cool. Good fun. People are gross.
How's the, what's the word, you know, the poos, I suppose. You know, you're doing a full meat diet. How's the...
The body processing.
Yeah, how's the body processing that, your end or the other end?
No, all according to plan.
All no good? Okay. Because you can get...
Yeah, thank you.
We don't need to know.
Yeah
it's important. Sort of throwing me a little bit, that comment, actually, to be honest.
Well, that's what it's going all right.
Sauce. That's what's that for. That's what that's
for. Is that the help?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
And olive
Don't
oil.
Climb me on it. Oh. Olive oil, yeah.
Okay, good. Let's go somewhere else quickly. So you were talking about new sports the other day, Macca, things that are exciting. I found wingsuit racing. Let's have a quick look at it.
Why not? Why not? Yeah, first time in Africa, actually. First time in Africa, in Kenya, obviously, and what an amazing location, no? And why not? It's for sure, why not? And then it's like such a beautiful place like this, such a special location. We really want to jump here, no?
You reckon you'd give that a go?
They do have a parachute at the end.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever managed to land without the, just purely on the...
They did, but they didn't survive. But
I would be happy to give that a go.
Would you?
Yes.
Because you've always been a bit of an adventure seeker. You've done all those things.
I've done quite a bit of skydiving.
Yeah.
So that's kind of just the next. I've never done base jumping. It's the only thing that I wouldn't do. I wasn't comfortable doing base jumping.
What's different about that? That's just as base jumping and that are both just as
not
terrifying.
Really. You come off and you're just really reliant on the thermal straight off the mountain face. So that's you've got a lot more.
You jump out of a helicopter with a wingsuit.
Yeah, much more fun.
Yeah,
that looked awesome.
Would you, Macca? Could you?
Yeah. I think I might. But the cliff jumping is a dangerous thing because you can get sucked into the cliff.
Yep. You get blown back into it. Yeah.
Right.
It's like of all the things I did, that was the one thing that I was just like, I went down there and I was like, I'm not comfortable.
Would you jump out of a plane with a wingsuit, Macca?
Yeah. Can you organise it?
Oh, 100% we'll try and organise that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you've got a parachute, right? So it's just a matter of knowing when to pull that. You don't get sort of mucked up and thinking you are actually flying when you're actually still dropping at about...
You know, you definitely know when the ground's coming towards
you. And how important is...
Pull up.
How important is weight? Like if you're I'm just saying, if you're a bigger, heavier man that's...
It's normally a weight restriction with you. With you when you're skydiving.
Well, I suppose you've got more surface area, haven't you, if you're a heavier set person?
Oh, with your suit, you mean?
They'll probably check that before you even go on the chopper. The chopper might have a weight limit.
Well, they throw cars out of the back of Hercules, so I'm pretty sure they can make a parachute that'll be big enough for whomever.
Right. I'm not mentioning any names. I'm just inquiring, you know, just...
So that you don't have to do it, or you would like to do it? Would you do it, Rick? Would you do something like that?
No, I wouldn't even do it.
You would?
I wouldn't.
You'd give it a go?
No.
If it was a team building, you know,
I'd push you all out if it was a team building thing, but I wouldn't do it.
You'd give it a go.
I would never do it.
Once we got up there, you would. You'd be no, you'd just.
When I say,
I think statistically, you got more chance of dying in the plane.
Yes,
the plane crashing whilst it's taking you up or taking you down or taking
more chance
you, taking
you
down if you don't do it.
More chance the helicopter falling on you.
Than actually once you're out the door.
You've been trying to tell a story for the last 10 minutes. What is it?
No, I just saw today, if you think about new sports, I thought this was incredible. There was a guy who was, you know, in a street market and he was one of the performers and he got these guys to hold up ropes about, you know, that much above your head. Like a string, and he came down and he said, I'm going to jump over it. And I was going, oh, watch this, right? It's on a cobblestone street. This is going to be an absolute disaster. And he came tearing down. He did a somersault and then twanged off his feet and went over it. You know, it was magnificent.
Was he like an ex-gymnast?
Yeah. But why wouldn't you have that at the Olympics instead of the high jump?
Yeah.
You know?
Right, somersaulting over things.
Flip, and then they somersault. What's a jump? It's just not technically, you know, the right.
Just get over that bar, no matter how you do it. Just do it.
Mate, I tell you what, this was mesmerising to watch it. I mean, sure, we were looking for the risk factor, but he cleared a height that would have been, you know, it would have been an Olympic record. It was 2.2 metres. That's an Olympic record. And it was amazing to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than these tall, gangly, you know, floss-free floppers.
Yeah.
I reckon steroid Olympics, you include that as well.
Yeah, there actually are the enhanced Olympics. They are an actual thing. Something that you were calling for years is now a real thing.
It's going to happen.
It is happening.
Well, who are you going to watch? Are you going to watch, you know, the guy run 10.5 or 9.8 for 100 metres, or the guy who does it in 8.5 seconds and then explodes like a fly on the windscreen?
Like a sausage.
I'm watching that.
He goes over the position.
Yeah, it blows up.
His heart just combusts.
That'd be amazing.
Now, just to get an insight into how you think, I ask you each week to send me in some clips from your Instagrams and stuff like this.
I can't wait.
This is an insight into your brain, Macca. This is what you think is funny.
Is it?
We've got one in front of
here. I can't even see it now.
It's a man feeding chips to a seagull out the window, and then he grabs one and throws it in the car.
Oh, I love it.
It's a great dad moment. He's just freaking his daughter out.
That's clever.
And then he gets it out and it's genius.
Is that the seagull making that noise?
It's the daughter in the back.
It's a theme of animal cruelty, that an underlying theme here.
Yeah.
It's not animal cruelty. I mean, this might be a thing with seagulls.
And he lets the seagull go out of the window and then he drops his daughter off at therapy.
Like a cheap KFC, you just buy the chips and grab the bird yourself.
And just chuck it in the hot mat.
Just chips, thanks. I'm sorted. I'll get the rest.
I'll get my own bird.
DIY.
Dirty bird.
Yeah.
Right, now this is something that Lana sent this week. This is an insight into the way that she thinks. This is what she thinks is funny. This is traffic and a man on a bridge with his shadow pretending he's playing a computer game.
Oh.
Oh. And then he gets run over.
Well done, isn't it?
There's some people that really, clearly have too much time on their hands.
It's good to see someone use their imagination instead of relying on technology.
Yeah.
Like cars.
I can't see this, Rick, but, and you know how there's a podcast, a lot of people listen to it and they don't see it. That's a pretty shit segment.
You're seeing it from the other perspective now.
Well, man, I can't see it. I've just got Rick saying, there's a guy on a bridge pretending to play computer games and he's been run over. I mean, if this is, you know, this is shit TV. Really, it is.
Well,
it's really,
now
really
you're
bad.
Experiencing it from the view of someone listening to it.
We're falling between the gap of a shit podcast and a shit TV program. It's not one or the other.
But I can't actually turn the fucking thing off. That's the problem. You know, I'm stuck.
Well, the good
in
news
it.
Is you'll be able to tune in on Wednesday night.
Actually, the good news is that we're going to do an extended version. So we're actually going to change it for the podcast. So if you're listening, you're listening to an extended version of what we're doing. So you've got more shit to listen to.
Wow,
the good news is on Wednesday night, I'll be flying. I've got to get another bird.
Still on a plane.
Bad.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Yeah.
Can you come
to
back?
Get a beer, mate. I can't do this sober.
Well, while you're gone, and you can't see this anyway, so it's irrelevant, so you can do whatever you like.
I can hear it, though. I mean, it's your commentary. Can you just pick that up a wee bit?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an absolute shambles.
What do you want from me? Do you want a little bit more energy?
Be more descriptive.
Paint a picture with words.
Yeah.
All right, well, how am I going to paint a picture of this? So far, you've sent me in cats on the diving board.
Which you thought were real.
Yeah.
Which we all thought were real. Then we went to other animals
the farm,
on a diving board.
The farm on a diving board.
Yeah. Yeah. So
upgraded.
Yeah. So we decided, like, I've been sent in dinosaurs on diving boards, all sorts of animals.
By the general public
by
Lee?
The general public.
Right.
And by Lee. Okay. Like, I get it. You know, we can create animals on diving boards. That's fantastic. This is something that's quite different. This is a dog weightlifting at the Olympics.
What sort of dog?
It's a husky-looking thing.
What sort of dog?
It's a husky dog at the Olympics weightlifting. So
is a husky built for it? Shouldn't it be a bulldog?
Well, no, you're quite a good anatomy. Are you creating these yourself, or are you finding them?
I'm sitting like creating them.
I'm just wondering how much you've.
I wasn't even finding that. Rick found that and attributed to me. But fine.
Yeah,
it looks good.
We're just running a theme.
Was it good enough? What would you give it, Lee, out of 10? I mean, is it something that you'd go, shit, I'll tell you what, that's funny.
No, it's sort of one of those things that's been done to death now as well.
That was the joke.
Oh, yeah.
We're watching stuff that other people saw last year on the internet.
Yeah. We're trying to catch up.
It's been recycled. So
All right. Like, how about this one? This is something that, you know, with artificial intelligence changing the world, and it's amazing what the difference it's going to make to everything we do. This is great technology that we use to do this. This is a cat and a baby farting and laughing.
Yep.
But they're both fake.
It's artificial intelligence.
But it's not as funny when you know they're both fake. Because I've seen situations where you do see a baby and a dog or a cat having interaction, and there's something it's endearing real about that. As soon as you know it's AI...
Kills it.
It's...
Well, how do you know that was AI?
And have you not noticed how much it's increased? Like, every week it just gets more and more and more?
Yeah.
All right. This one's real. This is cats wrestling UFC style.
Oh, yeah. Cats are great.
That's good. That's just a soundtrack, a UFC soundtrack with proper footage.
With cats just going
psycho.
Yep.
Cats are.
Psycho. Okay, that's nice.
Well, great move. See, that's you see what I mean, though? That's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, because they're real. It's good that someone's laid that.
See, that's a lot more creative, in my opinion.
Yeah, good. Is it the whole fight?
It's just going crazy.
It does go a long time. Can we stop it?
There you go.
I mean, it does beg the question, doesn't it, Lee? The world has evolved, and, you know, there are a number of techniques and ways to overcome challenge. In China, for instance, the one-child policy obviously meant that there are a lot more males to carry on the family line than females as a net result. There's a massive market that's been created in the cyber flesh.
Pardon?
Oh, yeah.
So you can basically go in and you can buy a rubber wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, have a relationship with her. The AI aspect of it, I think, means that the interactions are going to be a bit more legit and real.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Where are you going with this, mate? You're like,
well, people are starting OnlyFans sites now with people that don't actually exist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And making money out of that. Sort of prostitution in a way with AI technology.
Right. What sort of sites are you guys looking at?
I mean,
the question
is,
yeah,
you know, really whether the, you know, whether, you know, in 50 years' time, if you could have, you know, a robot that was, you know, very friendly and, you know, didn't chew your head off, whether that would be something that took off.
It wouldn't.
Yeah.
Maybe not for everyone, but potentially.
With a bagel?
Oh, well. Lana may want that.
Sorry, mate.
Door dash. Yeah, there is one for you, Lana. They're making male ones as well.
Rick only orders for himself. That's
No. I've decided that with Macca not being here, I can be more generous.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, this AI stuff. I mean, you can get really, really go down the hole with it, can't you?
Well, not with a male model that's going to be my sex partner, no. I haven't really fallen into that hole. I'm not sure if that's just a guy thing or...
No.
The natural extension of that is in China where there's 100 to 1 guys to girls, then the rubber ladies who are friendly are going to obviously be a big market. It's not me. I didn't create the company. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a big evolution happening.
Right. Okay. Well, good to know.
Did you invest in it, though?
If I could have, I would have.
Yeah. Let's talk about the lines eventually.
You'd be mad not to.
This is something we've recreated in AI. This is Lee talking to the Lions about 20 years ago.
I've had one of the Lions press conferences. It's pandemonium. Amazing to see everyone's getting very excited about the press conference. It's really beating it. You guys want to shut the f*** up? Smart buyers want a vehicle that offers more than just good looks. Sponsors, you'd understand. Professional. Have we got any footage? Sorry, we don't actually have any footage there, but sorry, that's unprofessional on the part of the team up there. But good luck for the rest of the tour, hopefully bump into you again. Good luck. Cheers, thank you. That's pretty much it, Bill. Thank you.
How do I introduce you, Connery? What do I describe you as?
That's
a good question. All right, now joining us, former All Black legend and sort of New Plymouth resident and World Rugby Players Association guy and also referee for the Classics, Conrad Smith. Yeah, how was that?
Nailed it. Thanks, Rick.
Can we ask you, first of all, what you thought of the Test match? All Blacks?
Right, straight into it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought obviously there were parts you could criticise, but I actually thought in terms of the first test, really good, some good rugby played, some tries scored, some of which were disallowed. But I thought, especially the way the game started with a little bit conservative with a bit of kicking, but then it opened up and I really enjoyed it.
Conrad Lee Hart here, Sports Cafe. How's it, mate? Good to see you again.
Good connection
with your hand.
It's good, isn't it? You got to do it.
I know you want to go to the toilet.
you're reffing, as you say, this Classics game. Can I talk about reffing with the All Black game? TMOs.
Yeah.
Is it wrecking the game? I mean, the calls, okay, they might have been right here and there, but are they going about it the wrong way?
I think you're spot on. There's a balance there. I think they should be interjecting. This is a personal view when it's clear and obvious. And I know that's wording that is used in some protocols around TMO. So it's slightly different between what we've seen in Super Rugby and what you see at international rugby. And I think the balance is tipped the wrong way. Again, this is a personal view in World Rugby. So though, as you say, those calls were right. I don't think they were things that were clear and obvious. People wouldn't have even noticed them. So the TMO's actually gone in, forensically pulled that out. They just leave that alone, which is what they've done at Super Rugby level, and I thought it's worked really well.
As a lawyer, you're going to be pretty hard to trip up. Not that we're trying to do that, but at the same stage, we're going to therefore get quite a succinct and clear answer like you just gave. But I'm on the ref thing too, Lee. I mean, 23 minutes of action, 125 rules, all fastidiously ruled over, you know, by some guy and then a Hitler moustache wearing chap in the, you know, in the bunker watching it. Have we got it wrong? What I mean, old players looking at it go, the game's really, really hard to watch. New players, probably the Players Association involved in now, probably don't care because that's all they know. But is the game starting to get, you know, a little bit used by?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair criticism. I just think there is a balance there, and I think what you've seen in Super Rugby has been a good example where they have brought that back a little bit, and so I think if you get the balance right, it can still be good rugby. Obviously, particularly at a professional level, you want to get all the calls right, but if you're focusing on, as I said before, the clear and obvious, then you can still get that flow of play. If there's a critical call, you want to zero in on it, absolutely. But a lot of these things that we're talking about, I think you can let them go. If a referee sees it, he calls it. If it's something blatantly obvious, you come back for it.
It's otherwise. Never blatantly obvious. I mean, it can be interpreted one of five ways. Every line out, there could be a penalty. Every collapse, maul, every ruck, there can be a penalty. And that you can argue it either way. I mean, if you're a
especially going back 10 phases to do it, you know, to try school, check your grounding, that's fair enough. But going back 10 phases, the ref said it was
you opened yourself up when you said you're refing, mate. We're just we're unloaded years of hate here.
Yeah. Welcome to the breakdown, mate.
Oh, you're going to cough it from every rugby referee we're in. You wouldn't believe it. I was sitting next to Angus, the guy who did the England
Gardner.
Versus Argentina game on the plane coming over here. Yeah, I reckon he's one of the good refs. You know, he lets the game roll a wee bit. Although England
very good referee.
Thumped Argentina.
Yeah. No, they're all valid points. And I tell you, I've refereed. I've got no aspirations to referee a high level, but purely because of it. Like, I'm interested in the game, and I'm actually, you know, having played it, wanted to see what it was like as a referee, and it taught me a lot. Like, I totally appreciate what the referee's doing, which I think I always did, but also seeing it from their perspective and actually knowing what they go through and some of the just the differences of how you have to approach the game. It's been, for me, I've really enjoyed it, and I think it's something more people should do, but it's definitely not an easy.
Can I bring it back to rugby, something rugby controversial for me, Macca? No, I'm just thinking, it really annoys the hell out of me. And you guys played, so what's your opinion? You know, the mark, right? It seems like it's a bygone era thing that was done for safety back in the 50s or something, some guy getting crushed by 10 forwards, getting rucked. Is there any need for it now? Surely you're putting a kick up to put pressure on the guy. And they're taking it and, you know, it's slowing it down even more.
Well, I'd go one further. I reckon you can actually why can't you hit the guy when he's in the air?
Yeah,
because people get hurt badly, Macca.
Well, they've changed that law now. You can't hit him in the air, so why have the mark? It's safe now. They've got all the time in the world.
Can I give you a proper answer here? Were you interested?
So, no, you're not the one we're asking.
And also, the mark, when it goes right back, you could actually take a shot at goal from a mark, a drop kick. So it was actually a scoring tactic back in the old 22. Days. No, you could take a mark anywhere on the field. You could actually take a mark. You could actually take a mark from a forward pass.
That's what we're talking about, Rick. We've got to take rugby back to those days. I think it'd have a chance of being bloody watchable if we did.
Yeah.
There'd be lots of marks if you could do that.
Can we ask
Don Clark? You see why he got so many points?
Yeah. Well, Ian Clark, his brother, scored a drop kick from a mark. I'm sure. Anyway, tell me about the classics, Conrad. Let's help me out of this hole we dug.
Yeah, the classics. I'm refereeing, so we're going to take Mark's approach, and I'm just going to let everything
Excellent.
Go. And,
you'll be safe. You'll be able to walk the streets.
My goal is to blow the whistle as least times as possible, and I'm going for a record of maybe, obviously to start the game and to finish the game. There'll be a couple, half time.
You should wear blinkers like a horse. Wear blinkers so you can only see what's in front of you. Nothing left or right.
Will you have a TMO?
Plug, so the touch judges don't get involved.
Yeah. And a lot of us, you can't see, we're important, but mate, arms in the air, play on. Jouer, as they say in France.
It's for people that don't know, the Classics is an amazing team. I mean, it's a whole lot of broken down All Blacks and rugby players who are just getting together and still having a good time. It's sort of really old school. I mean, what's drawn you to the Classics?
Yeah, I never thought, to be honest, when I finished playing, I thought there's no way you'll drag me back to something like this. But they played a game in Madrid about two or three years after I'd stopped playing. And I was up in France at the time, so I thought, why not? It wasn't far away. And first experience, I played. Absolutely loved it. We had about 30,000 in Madrid, still their biggest game, and they actually thought it was the All Blacks playing, but it was a whole bunch of washed up All Blacks. But we played the Spanish team, and then since then I took the whistle just so I could stay involved, because there's the on-field experience, but just getting a group of players back, it's something you do miss. And Mark will testify to this, but when you leave the game, you find other jobs, you find other things to do, but there's nothing that really replaces that experience of being a rugby player. And so this gives it a little reminder of what life is like. And, you know, it's players you played with, but often it's guys you played against, or in slightly different areas, but you all share the love of rugby, and that's what you do for a week. So it's a great experience and something that I've still continued.
How's your body holding up? I mean, you're obviously riffing at your age now. Would you go back and have a game now if you were offered the opportunity, or do you just think riffing's your super skill this year?
Yeah, the body's all right. I don't think I'd handle a game of tackle rugby too well, but I keep myself active, so the lungs would be okay. And in honesty, I got out of rugby pretty good, considering, you know, I can run around. I spend a lot of time on the bike and lycra, doing a bit of that to keep myself fit. But
lovely.
Yeah, it's,
Rick spends a lot of time in lycra too, but not on the bike.
I don't have a bike.
Around walking around the apartment.
Just in general, yeah.
You do. I'll send you some photos.
Yeah, no, he shares them a lot on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Macca? When you stopped playing, did you ever get called back to any sort of festival games or anything?
No, but I was wondering, what about bringing back rucking, Conrad? I think, you know, the forwards are just sort of fanning out. And when back in the day when I was playing, probably not so much yourself.
Yeah, I was in the crossover.
Yeah, you look for a forward in the back line, you go, great, I'll run around him. You know, now you look at a forward in the back line, you pass the bloody thing as quick as you can, I would have thought. But how do we suck the forwards back? And I say bring back rucking. And if you're going forward on your knees, I don't care. However you go forward, crawling, whatever it is, the team going forward gets the ball. And that way you suck the eight in and get some room for the backs. Amen.
Again, I will not be penalising rucking in the classic game.
Rucking in the air.
I want to see a return. Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. So we've got tackles in the air.
Tackles in the air, I might draw the line. Just thinking of...
Can you clarify for me, the Classics one team, who are they playing, or the Classics two teams playing each other?
No, the Classics have got a game against Pacific Legends coming up at Eden Park, I think on the 18th, and then they're playing down in Whanganui, which is, I think that's the game you're refereeing, is that right, Conrad?
That's correct, yeah. I would have loved to do both, but they've got the two games this year, so they're sort of just invitational games, Lana, that get organised each year, and this year
and the founder of...
But open for the general public,
yeah,
right? Yeah, can people come along and watch? Anyone?
Yeah, hell yeah, buy tickets, awesome. Get there. The founder of the Classics was the great Andy Hayden.
Yes, of course.
And Whanganui is where he's from. Perfect. It's his birthplace, so it's a great... It's going to be a huge event, and you know, just to clarify that Conrad is not in charge of changing the rules of rugby. Like, I just wanted to clarify that.
This could be your opportunity.
Yeah, and can I also clarify that, Macca, you're a lot tougher now than when you played the game. Like, you're calling for a lot more big hits, tackles, rucking, and these are all things that weren't really part of your game?
No, I avoided it at all costs, but I loved the skullduggery, and that's why I love props. They were basically... You were their jester, and they were your protector. It's sort of like a sitcom, you know. So you need the bullies, and let them bully. I mean, you know, how if you're a prop, do you get rid of that sort of desire to, you know, physically dominate and hurt? You know, I mean, sure you can butt heads at a scrum, but it's the dark arts. It's what happened when you're at the bottom of a ruck when Richard Lowe tripped over and accidentally drove three fingers into Greg Cooper's eyes. I mean, that's magic stuff.
And just for people that don't understand, Macca, you know, because I can't believe you're representing old school, but did rucking hurt? Like, did you get injured from rucking?
You wouldn't stay in a ruck when you've been ruck. I still remember getting tagged. Isn't that what we called it, Mark? You got tagged.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd come out and you'd have,
not pleasant.
Brutal.
Well, when we were in Otago, we had a team that was unknown, right? And there were 13 All Blacks in the Auckland side, and that's when the Carisbrook House of Pain name came up. Like, Laurie Mayne said, well, how are we going to beat them? And somebody said, oh, we should kick the shit out of them. And then Laurie's catch cry was, go for the bony parts. It causes more damage, right? So the boys would show the ref a pair of rugby boots with the normal round studs and then go to their actual ones, which had the league 22 mil studs, which were really, really sharp. And so they could do more damage. And all we got told was, if you're on the bottom of a ruck against Auckland, don't squeal. And thankfully I had Steve Houghton who'd jump on top of me and I could feel the kicks going through him. But if the Aucklanders had squealed, it gave our guys a bit of a charge. And there were one or two squealers in that Auckland side, let's be fair.
And my point, though, is that, like, although it hurt and you got tag marks and stuff like that from rucking, it's a lot more dangerous trying to get a turnover where you're isolated and someone's cleaning you out. That's where you're going to get really hurt, rucking, you didn't get hurt quite as much, did you? It's just a bit of cuts and blood.
I don't know. Andrew Roos put a 22 mil up a guy's ring once, and that was it's like a sow biting an electric fence. The sound, you'll never forget it.
All right, and just a Conrad question, like on the email, obviously connecting, it was snake this, snake that. Just to tell everyone where you got that nickname from.
Oh, it was actually nothing to do with rugby. It was a cricket coach, Ellie Jordan. He was actually a famous New Zealand bowler that coached me when I was a kid. Thought I ran like a snake in the field fielding, and for some reason it stuck. But that was that. It was actually, but it followed me everywhere.
A lot of nicknames with cricketers. We've got a guy called Wombat, who we gave him that nickname when he was playing cricket.
Why?
Chasing a ball. Because he runs like a wombat, Rick.
Yeah, but how do you, like...
Aren't you listening?
I am, but I don't know straight away how a wombat runs.
Or Google it.
Okay. What was your cricket nickname, Mark?
Asshole?
Do you have one? No. I don't think I did.
No,
really?
No, sure you did. Come on. You just feel like
it's
you just...
not that you know of.
You averted that, really. Like, a bit of deflection.
Ungainly gait, really, you know? I mean, Conrad was a wily, sort of a slinky runner. I'd have called you slinky. He was definitely a slinky runner, wasn't he? So yeah. I can understand where that came from.
So what I'm amazed about, you know, we've got Macca over in Argentina, Conrad and New Plymouth.
Yeah.
Us here. This, 10 years ago, if you said you could have this technology, you know, would you still think you'd be making a show this shit? You know, with all that... You wouldn't think that, would you?
No, we've got all this technology and we're still able to keep that low sort of base of delivery.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The standards are minimal.
10 years from now, we'll have like holograms and we'll have artificial intelligence and all these things and it will be still shit.
Yeah. You can AI us. We won't need to be here.
No. All right, then, Snake, we'll let you go. Appreciate all your time and
good luck.
Yeah,
you're going to ref that game, you'll be allowed in the club rooms afterwards. You'll be okay.
Yeah, and everyone go and watch. If you're gonna have a referee like that, that's a game to watch. Go and watch the classics.
Get the blinkers and a patch.
Yeah.
Amen.
You can't see where he's going at all. Two patches and blinkers.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Oh, take it easy.
Brilliant. A pleasure.
Okay. Go to the classic. Thanks, mate. 10-4. Good on you, pal.
You get a whistle with nothing in it. It just makes no noise, you know?
Yeah, no pee.
Or take the pee out.
Yeah, take the pee out of the whistle.
Yeah, looks constructive, but doesn't really do anything.
Hey, Mac, I've seen you couldn't make it. We've got a special guest in today. Paul from the TAB's lovely. Here.
Oh, g'day, Paulie.
G'day, Macca. How are you?
There he is. Uncle Paulie. Perfect, mate. Good, good, good. No complaints. Lots of complaints yesterday, though, about from the Argentines about the Poms getting over them so handsomely. There were big odds on that, I'd imagine.
There were. I guess seen as most of the English were, well, their best players were part of the Lions team. So, yeah.
What about
by that winning margin, that would have been, if you back that, you'd have come home well and truly.
Not too many did, so, yeah, wasn't the worst.
What about the All Blacks, France? How did that go for you?
Well, we always cheer for the All Blacks at the TAB, obviously, but this time we could cheer for them financially as well. I think they opened up at around 16 or 17 point favourites at the beginning of last week. The amount of money we took on them at the point start forced them out to 21.5 point favourites by the time we got to kick off.
13 and over would have been a big thing for you as well, though.
Exactly. So the All Blacks winning 12 and under was a very nice result.
See, I don't think people understood that the French have got a lot of good rugby players. And if you took, say, a New Zealand team and took the top All Blacks out and just put the next 30 players in there, those guys would play out of their skin. And that's exactly what the French did, you know? So I don't know. I never saw it as a 30-point thrashing. But in saying that, if all those TMO calls had gone the right way, there's another 21 points. There's not really a question.
We're talking about referees there.
Yeah.
And
the TMO come in, look at that.
So they'd be 13 and under again this week, wouldn't they? I mean, I reckon the French grow another leg after that result. You know, they get a bit of confidence in themselves.
The All Blacks are 16.5 point favourites again. They're $1.16 to win the match. The French are out at $5. I'm going to tell you, they were very, very popular in the first test, the French. $8 they got out to win that match, and boy, they weren't that far away.
No.
Can you start betting on things like disallowed tries I mean, it's a bit negative, but you know what I mean? I mean, it's there.
Well, if you could, mate, you'd bloody bet on one every week, wouldn't you?
Because there was, across all the international games this weekend, there was lots of disallowed tries and TMO interruptions.
The poor Fijians.
Yeah. Yeah, robbed.
Mm.
Do you have any, do you look at the Who Is Reffing the Game when you're calculating any of your odds? Is there any calculation with who is going to be reffing the game? Does that come into?
Not too much. There'd be a slight, if it was a very studious Northern Hemisphere referee, there might be a slight leaning one way.
Yeah. Lower scoring kind of thing?
Possibly. Or lots of penalties. Yeah.
What about the State of Origin? How do you see that? Like, coming down to a decider?
Yeah, game three, big game three.
Excited, aren't you?
Oh, 100%. This is huge. Well, it's all on. One each in the series. Queensland are out at $3 at the moment. They're 8.5-point underdogs, but if you look at that New South Wales team and their back three, the likes of Brian Tor, Zach Lomax, Dylan Edwards, that's a whole heap of power that they've got there, and I can understand why the early money is coming for New South Wales to win game three.
Imagine the State of Origin, you know, on the last tackle, they, you know, it's a try-scoring situation, they stick a kick up, as they do.
Mark.
And the guy takes a mark.
Yeah.
You know, on the last, and they start again. Like they do in rugby. What a load of shit. They don't do marks in league. Get rid of it.
So I reckon getting rid of Mark should be...
No, not Mark.
No, I'm saying that should be the theme of our show.
Ban the mark from rugby.
I'm happy to go.
No, ban the mark.
Ban the mark.
Oh, sorry.
You know, to give you an idea how long this show's been going, you know, Sean Marks is now the CEO of the Brooklyn Nets, you know, incredible. We've had a great performance by the under-19s in basketball, the New Zealand team. So basketball's on a real high. We did this show just as Sean Marks had been drafted to the NBA.
Ever have trouble after a few beers?
occasionally, but I'm pretty much used to it now. You know, I'm used to the ducking, so.
Another tall question. Do you notice dust in people's houses where they don't?
Yep, I'd be lying if I said I didn't, so yeah, no.
Who are you actually playing for over there?
Toronto Raptors. They're the team that just drafted me.
You know, when you the roller coaster rides, and you're too, like, when I was younger, it was too short to go on, yet to be able, you know.
You're all right now, though, aren't you?
Luckily, yeah. Do you ever get in trouble with being, like, too large for the rides? Because they go pretty close to some of those overhangs, don't they?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, I can't sit next to anyone on the rides. I'll have to have the two-seater by myself, so I can put my knees that way.
Distinct lack of romance when you've got a girlfriend, would you?
Yeah.
Any just advice? I mean, there's probably a lot of young people that are...
sort of bald of the head. Nothing much has changed, has
You would have missed that as well, Mark, that footage.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I was waiting for Rick to talk me through it. who would be your greatest basketballer of all time that you would like to have on as a guest? I'd say Wilt Chamberlain.
Jordan.
Yeah, we're Jordan. I've met Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt the Silk.
Yeah, we met him in a nightclub in Vancouver.
Funny that.
1989.
Wow.
And the All Blacks, Matthew Ridge's first tour, actually. And we walked into this nightclub and there was this massive, massive guy. And we were like, far out, you're big, you know. Like, and he's like, yeah, I play basketball. I said, oh, cool, are you any good? He's like, oh, you know, I've retired now, but I'm not, you know, I had my day. I was pretty good. It's like, oh, what's your name? It's like, oh, my name's Wilt Chamberlain. Oh. Like, far out.
Is he still alive?
Well, apparently he was better off court than on.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, have a few stories.
Made some prolific claims in Time magazine, which is a relatively reputable publication.
What were those claims, Mark?
Well, I've worked it out. And since the age of puberty, for the claims to be accurate, which let's say Wilt Chamberlain, puberty for him would have been around about the same time as you, Rick, about 8. He would have had to sleep with basically 10 women a week until he died in order to have amassed what he claimed in Time magazine to have been his tally, which was, I believe, 20,000 women.
Right. I didn't ask him that.
Awful behaviour. Yeah. Beg your pardon?
I didn't ask him about that. Would you have?
No, well, you didn't know that. You do now. If you meet him again, give it a nudge.
Right. Would you have asked him that if you met him?
Probably not. Well, I'd have asked them, you know, Time Magazine. Time Magazine obviously asked it, and if they, you know, sought it to be true, then they would have published it. But quite an astronomic assertion, isn't it?
Yes, to really bring the energy down a little bit of the show, isn't it?
Oh, wow. It's interesting. It is. Magic Johnson was much the same as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and, you know, didn't go out too well for Magic Johnson, you know.
Well, he had a Magic Johnson.
He did.
Do the crime, you do the time.
Yeah. Talking of legends, this week's legend actually was something that you sent in Macca, which, you know, is...
Tom Selleck.
No, is this lady...
No, Mexed.
You know, when you... Everyone gets frustrated by their kids on the phone. This is a way of dealing with it. Just taping the phone to the child's head.
I reckon that's so good.
That's going to be...
I mean, phones at dinner can't happen.
Yeah.
Not allowed.
There needs to be some rules and regulations. That's a good way of...
Yeah, there's got to be consequences.
My mum did that to me with the landline back in the day, you know? Remember the old landline at home? Yeah.
Taped it to your head?
Yeah.
Did she?
Stuck by the phone for some night, yeah.
Do you reckon that was staged or do you reckon it was real?
Staged.
Staged, eh?
Staged, completely staged.
Staged, yeah.
Like 99% of the internet's staged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is real.
This is, 100%. I can attest to that.
This being real.
This is real.
Yeah, and often the stage stuff's really funny and then the real stuff's shit.
You
know? Yeah. Can you attest to that as well?
I do indeed. Yeah. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous being at your place, Rick. This is really nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Now, we did have to blindfold you before you came here and then we'll blindfold you when you leave, so I don't want to see you here again. Okay?
I don't know how... Yeah. You'll see me again.
And no one's actually commented on your appearance. Like, Mark, he's immaculately dressed. He's got a nice, you know, the haircut's really bedding in well. Are you happy with Paul's appearance?
I think he looks stunning, Rick.
Actually, Paul, just going back to the TAB, I'm not sure if we actually, the State of Origin, the final, what's the odds there? What's the New South Wales paying?
New South Wales are at around $1.40 and Queensland are $3 and... The promotion team have put a little same-game multi-promo together for State of Origin punters. Just place a three or more leg same-game multi, and if you miss by one leg, get your money back up to $50 in bonus cash.
Can you clarify for me that you did actually tell us the odds for the New South Wales and Queensland, eh?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
I just needed to hear it.
You wanted to hear it again.
Might have changed.
Where's it being played?
Where's it being played?
Sydney.
In Sydney.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so you're in Buenos Aires next week, Macca?
No.
Italy.
Right.
Hard life. It is the life of the rich and famous. You should be following him, not Rick.
Yeah.
Oh. That would be my suggestion.
Gee, I'll put it to the...
Would you like Paul to come over and spend the next couple of weeks travelling around Europe with you, Macca?
No, I'm just seeing my daughters.
Well, Paul can come along and he can carry your bags and stuff. He's keen.
I don't think this is going to make it, is it?
No. Wait, so far this show is a three-minute show, you know? I thought the stuff with Conrad was good.
Yeah. Keeping guessing. Yeah, just have the stuff with Conrad.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. I mean, you didn't give me a half chance with the late ex-angel they make in China. I mean, the reality is that that's a massive market. We could have had a lot of fun with that, but no, we're all too prim and proper these days.
Oh, the show's not over
yet,
mate.
Damn, because we can have any fun with that.
We'll leave you to have a little bit of fun with the late ex-angel and we'll go to the titles, eh? How about that?
Are they the ones that you're talking about on the boat?
I saw it. There's a thing called Late Ex-Angel and it's like a documentary and it's absolutely sick. Well, not sick. It's just, it's sad, but it's fucking funny. You know, you got to watch it. But don't quote me on this. This is inappropriate.
This is all going in. All the stuff you don't, all the stuff you want in is coming out.
So do you order these in wine, Macca?
Stop talking about it.
No, good question. See, now we've got some enthusiasm for the topic. I mean, look, it's not something I'm invested in or I just find it absolutely absurd and peculiar and, you know, one of those evolutions of AI that it's turning into replicating humanity.
Stop now. Stop.
And it's got a market.
Get a cheap version on Temu, like a cheaper version of it. Like it
comes, for $3.
It's all going to
be here on Friday.
Stop talking. Can we just stop now? See if the upload's done.
He's talking to you guys. It's for men. It's not for women.
No, I don't want you guys to engage.
I don't need to engage.
Don't engage.
Lana, imagine a husband, you know, he'll come home, he cooks the dinner, he welcomes you every time with a cheery smile. He's gone out and
where are you going?
Bought you flowers. You're like, oh, that's good. That's great. I mean, lucky you. And aren't we all happy about that? But there's a lot of people who don't have that, and that's why this market, I think, has some promise and potential.
We've stopped doing the show like about 25 minutes ago. So can we just...
I could have one of each.
Can we stop talking to each other?
Yeah, absolutely. And upgrade. Look, hey, in today's day and age, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? One for every night of the week. That would be even better.
Yeah, well, don't knock it till you try it, though.
That's it.
These things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, you know.
Right, stop. Stop. Stop.
You just can't have a show saying stop.
Stop talking.
I'm the time again, mate, you know?